Kia ora e te whānau, nau mai hoki mai. Welcome to the Māori Millionaire Podcast. I'm very excited for today's podcast episode because today we're here with Rosie. Rosie, like we have literally been talking about this interview for a very long time, so I'm actually really excited to actually be sitting here today and interviewing her. If you don't know Rosie, where have you been? Rosie has over 200,000 subscribers on YouTube across two channels, Badass Careers and Not Even French, a channel about expat life, New Zealand culture and French culture. But she's also recently launched her third account called Badass Empires. Rosie is a career coach and the founder of Badass Empires, where she, oh, sorry, careers, where she helps people find purpose and make great career moves. Rosie has also close to 200,000 followers on Instagram. She's continuing to grow every single day, and I'm so excited to get to know Rosie more today and hear about her tips, her tricks about career growth, about business, about all of these exciting things. So, welcome to the show, Rosie. I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you. What an intro. Kia ora, everyone. I'm so excited to be here and yeah, just stoked to share any parts of my journey with you that can help you to make moves wherever you are as well.
Amazing. I would love to really just start with like an insight into your life and like your journey. So could you share with us in the audience a bit about your backstory, your journey, where you come from, and what got you here to where you are today?
Yeah, 100%. So I'm going to focus on money side of, the money side of things,
Yes.
finances, all that kind of stuff, because that's what we're here for, right? Let's get
Love
into the dirty details. So
it. Yes.
let's not go surface level. I'm just going to jump straight in. So basically, I grew up on the poverty line, solo mum. My mum's a cleaner, three kids, father with addiction, pretty tough upbringing.
Yeah.
So I think that instilled in me a real drive around wanting to break the cycle and have more options in life. So that's important context, I think, for my journey. And my avenue for my focus for that was always school and career, I think. It was always about trying to grow myself to have opportunities either come to me or me seek out opportunities that, I'd never seen around me in terms of my family and stuff. And that doesn't mean, crazy wild shit. It's probably quite standard stuff for people who grew up in a pretty stable, median income family. But for me, it was like a really big deal, to go to university and stuff like that. So I, grew up in that kind of way. And I did pretty well at school, kind of. The last year was a bit of a shit show. but I was basically gunning to become a doctor. That's what I thought I wanted to do. And the reason for that was, in all transparency, very much money. It was very much like, if I'm smart, I want to have a really well-paid job. And of course, I want to help people and all of that kind of stuff. But it was very much like, how can I earn the most money possible? Because I just can't repeat what I experienced growing up. And then I realized that that wasn't actually what I wanted. I'm like such a sensitive soul. Like if I see a stray cat on the street, like I just burst into tears. I don't think I could handle being around, that side of life where it is really heavy. I just know myself. I would never be able to leave that at the door. It's just not possible. It's just not possible for me. And I felt very lost. I didn't know what to do. And I also remember on the money side of things, calling up Auckland University, where I got into that first year of health sciences, and asking them, how much is this degree going to cost me? If I become a doctor, how is that going to work? And long story short, at the time they were like, oh, it's going to be like, at least $100,000 in student loan. And then I was like, cool. So I've done the math and I'm going to have to work about 25 hours a week to be able to pay rent and everything. And they were just like, if you have, want any hope of getting into medicine, you just can't do that. It's just going to completely hold you back compared to everyone else. And at the time, I probably could, where there's a will, there's a way. But
Yeah.
at the time, just couldn't see it as well, and I was just like completely overwhelmed. At the time, 100K for me, I was just like, oh, I'll never be able to pay that back, just from that 17-year-old's brain. And so I just kind of went to uni and spoke to a career coach down there because I was like, I've got no idea what I want to do. We did all those like personality tests, whatnot. And basically, the top two results that kept coming up for me were human resources and psychology. So I ended up doing a double degree in HR and psychology and just been like, let's see where it goes. Turned out I absolutely loved it. It was like the human side of things, understanding behavior, understanding the way the brain works, but with a very practical application of the workplace. And I became obsessed with this concept of having people really grow and thrive and love what they do and just feel themselves and make an impact at work. I got really, really into this concept. So I built my entire career around that. I started off in New Zealand. I was working for government, then I worked for Fonterra. I was down in Hawera for a moment there on the sites. Living my best little baby HR life. And then I met a French guy. And that was a bit of a life plot twist. We were in Auckland together for about 6 months. We started doing long distance. And long story short, because New Zealanders are how we are, I was like, I want to move to Europe. Like, Europe's so much better than New Zealand. New Zealand's boring. 5 years later, I'm like, get me home. Anyway, but anyway, so long story short, I moved to France for this guy, which was just like a kind of crazy move, but had my ducks in a row. It wasn't just for the boy. Made sure that I got into an English speaking master's degree over there. And it was an epic program, fully paid. Like, you partner up with a company to do your master's degree, so you write your thesis for them. And so I worked for the number one luxury group in the world, which is called the Louis Vuitton Moët Hennessy Group. I think the founder is the world's richest man, Bernard Arnault, if not one of them. And it was just, oh, it was just wild. It was just another world. It was another world because I was doing training and development for top executives. And so we were hosting our trainings in like chateaus. And it was like, like when I was choosing the menu, it was like Dom Perignon, like champagne. Like, it was just another world. It was absolutely crazy. But being exposed to that level of like, there's a lot of ego, obviously. It wasn't my style, but like that level of thinking, those thought leaders, those people running, the CEO of Christian Dior, the CEO of Veuve Clicquot, like big brains in the room was so inspiring. And so I had an awesome career over in France. Six years I worked for LVMH, I worked for startups, and I worked for L'Oreal. Did really cool stuff. And long story short, here we are. I think it's like 12, 13 years later now, married to that guy, have a baby, and it all worked out in the end. We ended up coming back to New Zealand about 5 years ago. And yeah, it's been a wild, wild trip. But it was in moving back to New Zealand that I left the corporate world, took a bet on myself, started Badass Careers. And yeah, I'll fill in all of the gaps and the de dirty details as we continue our chat. But that's basically the overview.
Wow, that is like literally an exciting journey and totally relatable, like on so many fronts, but also like the Europe and all of us that just want to like go overseas. So love that. Very interesting. And you've just like, been able to experience so many different things, which is so exciting. I want to dive deep into business because I personally love business and I think that your business story is really interesting and I'd love to learn more about this. So like, what actually got you started in business and can you share a little bit more about your journey in entrepreneurship? What are some of the different things that you've learned? And yeah, I would love to learn more.
Yeah, 100%. So, well, I guess it kind of starts with Not Even French, my YouTube channel. So, I never saw myself as an entrepreneur. I have a deep, deep rooted security driver because of the way I grew up. So, I was very much like, I want my stable salary, I want my paycheck, I want to work, I want to earn good money, but for very established companies. And my goal was always to become the human resources director for a big company. That was just like the end game. And then on the other side, I'm a real learning animal. I always love learning about different things and I've always been upskilling. So, listening to podcasts and watching YouTube videos, like never just vlogs and stuff like that. It was always around watching people do interesting things, create interesting things. And anyway, somehow I fell into the world of side hustles and making money online and that kind of stuff. And I was really fascinated by it also because I was like, cool. Well, my student loan is bearing interest while I'm over in Europe, so I want to start earning some cash on the side of my day job. And Over in France, it's just a little bit different because the cash money in terms of the salary isn't that high. But the way it works is because everyone contributes so heavily towards taxes, your base life is good. Healthcare is free and really good food is cheap. And there's a lot of positive, but it's a different system and the actual cash and the salaries aren't as high as you'd probably expect. And so I was very keen to start earning some extra cash. And so just through listening to podcasts and whatnot, I tried lots of things. I actually tried drop shipping. So I was selling t-shirts on Amazon for a while. And yeah, I was doing all sorts of stuff. And anyways, and then I came across the concept of YouTube and making money on YouTube. And I just had always had this dream of writing a blog about my experiences over in France as this lost Kiwi who didn't speak any French and was just, navigating this crazy world with this crazy company. And I was like, I think I've got quite interesting stories to tell. It's like quite a random plot twist in life. And so, long story short, I was like, okay, I'm gonna give it a go. And so I started my YouTube channel. Long story short, my YouTube channel ended up doing very well. And within a matter of months, I started making like a couple of $100 per month just through the AdSense alone. And then it started to be more so around, 1,000, 1,500 bucks a month. And it was starting to feel really exciting. Plus, I just loved doing it. It was creative, it was storytelling, I was connecting with people, like I was having a great time. And then I started getting brand sponsorships. And I guess overgrowing that channel, I think it was sort of 0 to 100,000 subscribers in about 2.5 years. I started to have some months where I was actually out earning my corporate salary. And that was my first taster of what was possible. So it wasn't necessarily started with the intention of being a fully fledged personal brand based business as we know them now, but it was that real taste of like, oh, actually, this isn't a scam. Like it's real and it's possible and it's achievable for someone just sort of normal like me. Like I thought you had to be like a comedian or a model or be really, really special to do this. And then that was a real taster. And I ended up signing this really lucrative brand deal where it was essentially 5,000 euros. So that's, pretty decent cash. What's that, like 7.5 grand or something, for a shout out per video. And I had one video per month that I needed to do a shout out on, but it was a 12-month contract.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, whoa, this is a salary, and so I had that in my back burner. And then my husband ended up ironically getting a job offer in New Zealand. And we decided to move back to New Zealand. By that time, I'd been in France for 6 years. I was quite homesick. I was very keen to come home. And so we decided to move back to New Zealand. I was about halfway through the sponsorship sort of contract. And between my savings and that security of the next 6 months coming in, I was like, I don't think I'm gonna job hunt. I think I'm going to try out my business idea, which I had been dreaming up. And I think I'd only have the had given myself permission to dream up this business idea if, thanks to my YouTube channel, essentially. And the reason I didn't want to continue with that YouTube channel is like, I don't want to spend 40 hours a week talking about French people. Like, that's not necessarily like my purpose, my dream, my impact I want to make on the world. But it was critical for me to open my mind and see what was possible. And so the idea I had was using that 10 years of experience in HR and hiring people, developing people, all that good stuff, but bringing that online. And my initial idea was like, hey, what if I created a YouTube channel about that kind of stuff? And long story short, I gave myself 6 months to prove to myself I could make it work. And I did, pulled it off. And I ended up for Badass Careers because it was literally a capacity thing. I was doing cons some consulting. I had my YouTube channel, and I was trying to build this business, which, as it takes quite a while for the money to start coming in because you've got to do all the groundwork in terms of designing it, the niche, the positioning, all that kind of stuff. And so I start Badass Careers. And I decided to go on Instagram because I had the fallacy in my mind, oh, this will be easier than YouTube because it's just like images and stuff. Instagram's a beast. Instagram's like its own thing. But anyways, I was like, I'll start on Instagram. And so I was on Instagram for the first 6 months. It took off. I could see that the demand was there. People were really keen for it. And then, I think it was like, but I wasn't earning great money. I was earning like 2 grand a month, then 3 grand a month. It was sort of like, it was good. I mean, but it wasn't like, okay, It wasn't like I can pay my mortgage and still go back to France every year good. Like it wasn't, at that level. And I also knew that not even French was going to disappear out of my life eventually because I just didn't want to keep doing that forever. And then, long story short, I learned, I invested in a really amazing course, and I started, actually investing in coaches and that kind of stuff to try to figure it out. And I ended up having my first like 35K launch, I think about 8 months into business. And once I had that taster, I was like, okay, I can do this. I can do this thing. And so, yeah, I just never looked back. And 5 years later, here we are. So Badass Careers has hit a lot of milestones, which I'll share happily as we continue our conversation. And it's just been, yeah, it's been absolutely life-changing as an experience. And so essentially what I do is I help people figure out what they want to do in terms of their career and find purpose and meaning and impact in what they do for work. And then, interview, salary negotiation, CVs, LinkedIn, networking, all that stuff.
Oh my gosh. I am, when you were talking about being in France around all of these like successful business owners and you're just sitting there so inspired, that is me right now. I'm like, this is so cool. And it actually like it's lit something up in me. Like I remember being at high school just watching like my dream when I was young was to be a YouTuber. And like I have a YouTube channel now, but I don't really put much time or effort into it. So but I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. And yeah, I'm just literally so excited to keep talking about this because there's so much here. And also in terms of in terms of those milestones, I would love to actually like just dive deep into those. So like are there any specific kind of milestones that I know you said like when you were doing your YouTube channel it was like cool, this is making more than my corporate salary some months. So like in terms of business now, like what are some exciting milestones that you've achieved and wanting to share?
Yeah, I mean, I'm super transparent about this because of the people that I was following online, it really helped me when people would break down, their monthly revenue and their revenue streams and share just really openly about what they do make. Because I think there's a big difference between being like, my business is working really well, trust me, versus, hey,
Yep,
this is
I
what I'm
make this
making
amount
kind
this
of thing.
month.
And yeah, and it was very, very important to me to see that. That actually gave me that enough hope, to put myself out there and get over the scary stuff and just go for it. So I'm super transparent. You can ask me anything. So basically for Badass Careers, in terms of revenue, year one was 150K, and then year two, it kind of exploded up to 500K revenue. And then year three, we hit $1 million year in revenue, which was just insane. And so obviously as that goes, the expenses are scaling, but my profit margins have always been around, around 60% or so, in those higher revenue years. So, I mean, it was obviously mostly profit when I started out, because I just had sort of like a part-time employee and, like helping me later on. But then, at the $1 million year, I did have quite a big team, and expenses and stuff that were running at that sort of 400K mark. So it, and which is crazy to say out loud, but it's in hiring and getting that help that you can free up your time and that it was allowed that to be possible. But yeah, I think the most exciting milestone of my business, I won't say of my life because I've got my beautiful baby girl now, but like it was a moment.
Close your ears,
That
baby.
third year, I paid myself 580K and I paid off our home in Wellington, which was worth $1 million. And so we're completely mortgage free.
Oh my gosh, this is so inspiring, and I bet everyone listening into today's episode is just going to be like, because I can feel it, like just this. Oh my gosh, amazing. That's incredible. I'm so
Yeah.
proud of you.
Thank you. It's been fucking crazy. It's been crazy. But yeah.
And like on that note, like I feel like so much of like business and my own experience, like sometimes people can see all of the amazing, incredible stuff that we do, the income months that we hit, but what people don't see sometimes is actually like the really, really like challenging times in business that you go through. Sometimes behind the scenes, some of us share it online, but like some of them can actually be like, oh my gosh, terrifying. So I would love to actually like hear more about some of the struggles you've gone through in business and like what kind of mindset did you have through those struggles and how did you navigate them?
Oh, look, I mean, so many struggles. I think, entrepreneurship is definitely the biggest personal growth experience that you could ever undertake because, I believe in, I think our business model is the best. It is amazing. You create content, you help people, you're on this beautiful mission, and you help so many people for free. And then you've got your hardcores who come, work with you directly, courses, coaching. And it's like a really nice balance between being able to help thousands of people and also this kind of boutique relationship with the people that want to go, A to Z with you and have all of the answers and have all of the support. And I just think what we do is absolutely incredible. But obviously a huge part of that is creating content and putting yourself out there. And I think everyone in business should also be in counseling or therapy because it's going to bring up a lot of shit around like your worthiness. And it's just when I look back, I don't have the same struggles as I did when I started, but I used to hate the way I looked, hate the way I sounded, so harsh on myself, so much self-judgment. I think there's also growing up in New Zealand that real take the piss culture as well. And so you never have a kind word to say to yourself. So, just a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety just around all of that and just feeling judged by ex-colleagues, feeling judged by people I knew, feeling judged by all of that kind of stuff. You do feel like so, it's weird because classic like Kiwi culture, right? You don't want to be a try hard. It's like you don't want to be seen to be trying, like, oh, but there's that feeling of like you're actually doing something incredible, but you feel like a loser because you're put, yeah, it's like this awful feeling. So getting over that was hard. I think I've had moments where, people just ripping off my content, ripping off my trainings, ripping like buying my courses and their career coaches are so obvious that they're just stealing all my stuff. Like I've had, just had moments like that. But I think the biggest challenge, the biggest struggle, to your point, is this, it's this interesting dynamic where it's almost like a gambling slot machine, the way I sort of see it sometimes, because I mean, I have ADHD, so I've got a lack of dopamine, and so I'm particularly, I guess, vulnerable to this kind of needing the hit to be like, that motivation and that shiny object syndrome coming in and that dopamine hit. But the problem is that because, in the corporate world, you have salary bands and you have market rate salaries and you have all of these kinds of stuff. And it's sort of like, yeah, you can negotiate and you can do your thing. But at the end of the day, there's pretty much kind of a zone that you're going to be playing in, depending on your level of experience in a particular field. When you remove that, when you remove those rules and that salary band and that kind of thing, and you're working in a relationship where the more you create, the more you put out, the more you grow, the more you earn. I mean, not necessarily you've got to be putting out good stuff, but to simplify, it can be very addictive. I have gotten pretty low in terms of burnout several times over my journey. I have sacrificed relationships and my marriage at times for my business, and it's been very, very hard to turn that off because in my mind, I'm like, I'm building us an incredible future where we have options, but that's the future, and we only have today. And so I think this sacrificing your present for your future can be a very difficult balance to strike because in my mind, I'm like, fuck, if I just keep working like this for the next 6 years, we could retire at 40. And my husband's actually saying to me, and you need to listen, like, I don't want to retire at 40. You know what I mean? Like, I love my job and I want to spend time with you and I want to be with you and I want to have you in the evenings and weekends. Like, that's what matters to me. And it can be very, very difficult, I think, juggling opportunity with your wellness. And you've got to remember this business can't exist without you, and it definitely won't thrive with you being low. And when you're feeling exhausted, your content is going to show in your content, like your energy is really, really key. So I think the toughest journey I've been on has been balancing my wellness and the things that really matter today with this constant excitement for my vision and the future. And I'm not perfect at it, But what I would say is like never look at what anyone else is doing and be like, okay, that's what success looks like. That's what I need to do. Like, this is your business. And actually you get to set the rules. And instead of being like, and so I've actually consciously taken an income dip this last year and having my baby and everything. You've got to realize that you get paid in lots of different things. You know, it's like it's not just money that pays you, like being able to have that freedom and that flexibility and work 20 hours a week and spend time with your baby, that's wealth. That is wealth. So I think keeping that in mind, that holistic view of wealth will help you avoid, I think, some really challenging moments that I've had on my journey.
Oh my gosh, that is so relatable, and I can really, yeah, just attest to all of that you've talked about. And I've gone through exactly the same thing and still learning how to navigate this. And I've never heard that analogy of like comparing it to a gambling machine, because like, but that is so true, and that's exactly what it feels like. And I think one of the things, like going off of that I've experienced is like, it's very rare, like this kind of journey that we're on. Like, most people are like really content with what they're doing, and I love that for them. And I've often felt like alone, like, you know, people just don't understand this. So like, how did you know, you said counseling, therapy, were those kind of the main things that you used to like navigate that journey? Like, were there any other kind of like tangible things that you've done to really support you, other than like, I guess, consciously making that decision to work less or to do certain things? Are there any things that you would say have really supported you to, I guess, change or, yeah, prioritize?
Yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, it's often in, and this is why I think I really believe in investing in yourself, whether that's through therapy, whether that's through a mindset coach, whether that's through business coaching. I think having soundboards with whom to actually find your answers about what's truly important to you is really, really important. It's also really important to enroll the people you love on what you're doing. At some point, like they'll never truly understand what it is. Like my parents absolutely do not understand what I'm doing. But I think it's really important to enroll the people that you love on what's going on and what the vision is and what this is all for. And also say, hey, can you help me stay accountable? Like, I really, want my life to feel like this next year. I don't want to keep doing this. I want more of this, that kind of thing. And actually, not just having your own vision, but sharing it with people so that they can help you. Because sometimes you can get that shiny object syndrome and be like, oh, I've just got this one opportunity coming, and that, and you can kind of go off track. I'll give you a concrete example. Like, so the other day, I was offered 5,000 USD to run just a remote workshop on salary negotiation for a startup over in, they're based in France, but they've got offices all around the world. And they wanted me to do this workshop at a time that worked perfectly for France, the UK, and New York all at the same time. And I was like, cool. So you've got a couple of options. Like I can do two workshops to go across the time zones, or, and we're going to record it anyway. So one of them might have to watch the replay, la, la, la. They came back and they said to me, look, Rosie, we're all really excited about this. We've got that 5 grand. Like we're, going to the limits of our budget to have you as a speaker. We really want to have you, but it has to work for our teams. So we would like to ask you if exceptionally you'll do it at 4 o'clock in the morning. And they were like, this is the start of a relationship. We want this to be, ongoing and all that kind of stuff. And it just took one conversation with a friend. I was like, my gut's telling me to say no. Because I've said that I'm no longer going to prioritize my wellness and my family. Yeah, what am I going to do? Be like on a workshop, like, hey, everyone, and my baby's sleeping in the next room. I could wake her up. Like, I said to myself that I'm not going to prioritize potential money and revenue over my wellness and my family. And my gut's telling me to say, sorry, no, thank you. It's not going to work. And it's hard. It's hard because that's like 9,000 New Zealand dollars, for a couple of hours of my time. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And it helps to enroll people. And they were like, Rosie, you know what you got to do. So I said, sorry, no, thank you. And actually they came back and said, okay, we'll make it work. But like, but I was ready. I was ready for my values. I was ready to let it go. So you've actually got to walk the talk. You can say one thing. I've done this a lot. You can say one thing. I want this. I want things to change, but keep behaving in another way. So it helps to have people to call yourself out. And sometimes it helps as well to actually having little decision-making frameworks. You know, like, is it going to, I guess, like, you've got opportunities, but you've always got to think, at what cost? At what cost? Because can you imagine, right? I say yes to this workshop. I get up at 4 a.m. I'm animated. I'm delivering a workshop. It wakes up my baby. My husband has to get up in the middle of the night and comfort her and look after her yet again because Rosie's working. Rosie's working, so she's like affected the family. And Rosie's working, so she's tired the next day. She's affected her wellness. So you've got to ask yourself, at what cost? At what cost? And so it's honestly a habit of getting better at asking yourself these questions before you say yes to anything. And I would also say that building a personal brand like we have, you'll get a lot of opportunities coming in eventually. You know, a lot of sponsorships, a lot of, you know, can you speak here? Can you do this? Can you do that? And I've almost 99% of the time, I've consistently found that the time, energy, preparation, et cetera, going into doing these kinds of things versus if I had just stayed in my lane and stayed focused and kept building my content, my community, my products, it's almost never worth it. And so it's also making sure, you know, that quick hit and that short-term game, just staying focused on the long-term game as well, and just staying really true to your values. And this year, and I did it last year as well, but this year in particular, when I built my vision, my business vision for the year, it was very much business and life. So a business KPI could be something like taking every Friday off for my family. So just making sure that, yeah, you're walking the talk, you know, and you're actually putting things in place so your behavior changes.
Wow, your insights are very valuable, and I'm so grateful for everything that you've shared. I did have a quick little question, and that was, before I wrap us up, where to from here? Like, what are you kind of focusing on for this next season, this next chapter of life? What's this all looking like?
Yeah, so my whole journey has been around purpose. I really struggle to find get motivated just for money, you know, just for doing a thing. Otherwise, I would have kept selling t-shirts on Amazon, or I would have kept doing Not Even French. You know, I had there are a million ways to make money online. You can make money online, but it had to matter to me and it had to mean something. And my purpose, you know, ever since uni and my HR career, it's always been helping people to really love their work and really be able to express who they are in their work and make an impact through their work, which is why I started Badass Careers. Now, what I've seen over time is a shift where it's really tough to fully reach your potential and make an impact and find a job where your purpose is 100% aligned. I found that the corporate world can be full of a lot of compromise, and that, you know, you can have incredible people doing amazing things, and they've got so much talent, and then they get into a situation and they've got a toxic boss who makes them feel like shit. And so there was just so many things that I was struggling with in terms of helping these like brilliant humans fully go for it and make incredible money and live their purpose in the career space. It's an absolutely valid track, but a lot of people were like, well, you know, you've built a business around your purpose. Right? Like you've started to build something that's yours and you're able to make an impact via that. And you don't have people telling you what you can and can't do and what you can and can't earn. And so I've started Badass Empires, which is a sister brand to Badass Careers. So it's like, yes, love your work. One option is in the corporate world, and the other option is by starting your own business. And so I've been focusing on that. This year, I just launched my account and my podcast and stuff like that. By the way, come and listen to the episode with the two of us. But yeah, so that's my new direction, and I'm listening to myself and my purpose, and I'm feeling really, really energized by the idea of helping good people with big hearts make a lot of money. So that's where I'm putting a lot of energy into 2025, and I'm really excited for it.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. And on that note, just to wrap us up, how can my community, how can those listening into today's podcast episode support you, support your businesses? Tell us more.
Yeah, just come and say hi. I'm mostly active at the moment on Badass Empires. So on Instagram, that's just at Badass Empires underscore. So come send me a DM. Otherwise, if you're more interested in the career stuff and salary negotiation tips and whatnot, not, it's just Badass Careers on Instagram. So that's probably where I'm going to be most active, and you'll be able to see all the resources and free trainings and all that kind of stuff from there.
That's incredible. And for everyone listening in today, I'm going to have all of the information in the show notes in the description below. So make sure to go check that out. Otherwise, I just wanted to say the biggest thank you for being here today with us on the podcast and for sharing everything, and for just being so vulnerable and so many of the different challenges you've gone through. This has been so insightful and I've really enjoyed having you here. So I just wanted to say a big mihi from everyone who listens to this podcast and from me. Thank you for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.